Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to drive remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Just as a quick reminder before we get started, if you'd love to learn more about the five levels of leadership or even some of the work that we're able to do with organizations around the world, please visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast and there leave a comment or a question for Perry and I as well. And we'd love to respond, or even we can make it one of Perry's future titles and actually talk a little bit about it. In addition, there you'll be able to find a learning guide that Perry creates for us around this content, and you'll be able to download that, be able to use that as kind of a one-pager and highlight some of the lessons that you're learning from our podcast today. Well, today's title, I love this. I think of many illustrations about this, and even our team here in the room had us laughing beforehand about some of the things that we could have done that we're not going to do, but we could have. And the title Perry came up with us is How Are Insider / Outsider Dynamics Killing Engagement on Your Team? And I can only imagine what you were thinking about. So tell us a little bit more about what you were thinking about these dynamics.
Yeah, so when I was young, my dad was in the space program, and we happened to move a lot. He was an engineer working on space, think before we went to the Cape for the manned launches. And because we moved a lot, I was always kind of the new kid, the new guy in town, and I reflect back on that about how tough kids make it for the new kid, and you're kind of the outsider until you figure out how to become an insider. And most of the when we think about it in the workplace today, it's mostly unintentional. I think it can still be disastrous for your team if someone on your team does not feel like they belong. Does not feel for some reason that they're not in the inner circle with you, with your team, or that they're more outside, others are inside. It really sets up a dynamic where it's really about inclusion and how you as a leader do things or don't do things that exclude people and do things that do include people is a dynamic that I'm finding that a lot of us do unintentionally, but it happens.
It does. As a matter of fact, it actually makes me think a little bit about a meeting that John had with Carly Fiorina. And we were talking about diversity and inclusion. And our teams are beginning to work together and develop some content to be able to roll that out to organizations, because it's a big topic and it's a hot button. And I think diversity right now is given in most organizations, right? It is what all of us see in our teams. We think it's a fantastic thing. Where there's a gap and where there's a little bit of a challenge is this whole inclusion.
Yeah, it's a choice.
And it's a choice. And how do we go about doing that? Because I think every person that you interact with on your team has a unique value, not only to them as an individual, but what they can bring to the team. And whether you know it or not, I think at times you may be promoting inclusive behaviors, which can decrease the engagement. And everyone on the team has to be seen, they have to be heard, they have to be welcome. And we got to make sure that we're having these type of conversations.
Yeah, where I noticed this was we've done a podcast here about unconscious bias before. And one of the key things I learned from that was there's a bias called like me bias, and that we all kind of have a tendency to notice and move toward things that are like us. It's unconscious, and we need to be more conscious of that to say, am I on my team? There's just some people that are easier to connect with. There's some people that are more like me, and I click with them. But are there others that are just as important to the team that I want to include, but I'm by my action doing that? So I have eight things that I think I would go walk through kind of quickly to just be mindful of what these
just
are.
Just the high level now. Okay? Yeah.
So number one was the self-awareness, the probably most important step you take is to recognize this tendency to connect with people that are like you. And I find that once I'm aware of this, I start to notice the differences, and difference is good, and that if just because it's different culturally doesn't mean it's bad. I if it's ethnicity or race or gender or generational, there's lots of things that make up a person that I need to be comfortable with difference. And when I'm self-aware of that, I gravitate.
And I think why you have to be self-aware of that is you mentioned how like-minded, like acting, we kind of just, we naturally gravitate towards those type of people. I think that there's alignment right away. I think over time there's some tension. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, but where there is a difference, or where you have different, whatever it might be, values, beliefs, however it is, if you're not aware of that, you will create an immediate disconnect with that team member. And that doesn't serve you, your leadership, doesn't serve the team member or the team in general. And so I think you definitely got to be aware of that. Number two we're going to talk about is share unwritten rules. And when I saw this, I just started laughing. I was like, my goodness, do you know how many unwritten rules that we have in organizations? The written ones, everybody knows. You get an employee handbook, and you understand, what the paid days off are, which ones aren't, and all the rules and all kind of stuff. But there are so many unwritten rules. And it even goes down to not even just as an organization, but as teams. And each team has unwritten rules.
If you ask them, they'll tell you what they are.
Absolutely tell you.
Somebody told me one. I said, what's an unwritten rule in your organization? They said, never leave before the boss leaves. I went, really? They're sitting around waiting for see the boss's taillights in the parking lot, and then they out of there.
Not doing anything, just looking out the window. Right. But that's one of those unwritten rules, And so
that's why it's killing your engagement.
That's right. So make sure, remember, we're talking about inclusion here with team members, some simple things that you can be doing. Take that first step and share some of those unwritten rules with the team. And they're going to get the written ones. I mean, you can have that conversation as well, but HR is probably going to take care of a lot of that. Number three that you mentioned here, over-communicate, okay? Open communication with every member on the team will help them from keeping to feel like an outsider. And when I say over-communicate, oftentimes people say, man, people have to hear a message three different ways, seven times each, right? And they come up with this big formula. And really what they're just trying to tell you is you can't communicate enough about what's going on in the team. And by doing that, you'll make them feel inclusive. You'll make them feel part of the team.
I found this to be true when I was leading a large team. The more I spoke to people as a group or individually, the more I was seen and heard, the more they felt like they were in that circle of knowledge. They know what's going on. They hear it from me. And any communication is generally good, but connecting is communication is required.
And just remember, in regards to communication, people receive different types of communication different ways. Again, it goes back to being not only self-aware of how you deliver it, but even more importantly, as a leader, you need to know your team and how certain individuals need to be communicated to.
Number four was to just recognize difference. We talk about you have the like me bias. You gravitate toward people like you. If you can recognize difference, one thing I learned in this area was it may sound noble to say, I don't see difference. Everybody's just the same. And what I've learned in the cross-cultural diverse environments that we are in today is that if you say, I don't see difference, you're basically saying you don't see me. You don't see a person and that you're just like me. You're not like me. And I need to be able to see that and recognize difference and then be comfortable with difference so that I connect equally with people on my team. And number five, we talk about it a lot here. It's just being more intentional. Be intentional about how you look at how you engage with your team. How people be intentional about noticing if people are left out, not included. Are there informal meetings going on that somebody's, these informal ad hoc meeting in the hallway, or we step into a conference room and somebody's, well, why wasn't I invited into that? You can always, be more intentional about scheduling the meetings, having people in place. I had one, they said, you always hold the staff meeting late in the day, and I have to go pick up my kids from school. And I always either have to leave early or I miss the meeting completely. Well, that was I wasn't intentional about that. It said some people had to drop kids off in the morning. I always had an 8:30 meeting. I thought, well, work starts at 8. No, it's a different world today, and people have different responsibilities. And if you know what those commitments are that other people have and you schedule accordingly, you're saying you're important.
Yes.
I want you to be on the team. I want you to be included.
This is a foundational discussion in John's five levels model around level two and just getting to be able to connect with people, right? We talk about you don't have to build a relationship with everybody, But you got to connect with them. There's lots of ways to connect with them. And even around this intentionality, where one of the things I was thinking about was be intentional about understanding their perspective about everything. About everything, whether it is something, whether it's the time of the meetings that you were talking about, whether it's a core value of theirs or a belief of theirs or whatever it is. And I think if you're intentional about that, that will draw that inclusiveness. That'll draw
that's
that
really connection. Interesting about perspective is another tendency, an unconscious bias, is that I tend to think that my perspective is the perspective.
Right.
And if you have that openness, like you said, to say, hey, I over communicate. I invite you to have a voice into what my perspective is. People then lean in. That engagement goes up because I'm relevant.
That's
I'm important. You need me. I'm into that.
Love that. Well, number six, I know you put this in here for me. I'm not going to, take it personally, but number six is listen deeply. We've talked a lot about this.
Yep.
John talks about this being kind of that core level two. If you'll listen, learn, then lead your team, it will be a lot more effective than hearing your team. You don't learn anything, and then you lead them the way that you were going to lead them anyway. But if you really understand and get to become a really good listener without distractions, the biggest compliment somebody could say is, man, with everything else that you got going on as a leader, when I'm talking to you, I feel like I'm the only thing that matters. Like, I feel like I'm the only one in the room. I think if you could get to that point, that will let you know that you have honed in on how to listen deeply. When you do that, they're going to feel included. They're going to feel valued.
They feel seen.
They're going to feel seen. And you're going to get what we call the discretionary effort. They're going to want to be there. They're going to be passionate about what they're doing for the organization.
Now, the big learning there, I know Stephen Covey taught us to listen with the intent to understand, not just respond. But I've noticed in this world I'm in that I need to listen with the intent to learn and to serve. And if I go into a conversation and thinking about what can I learn and how can I serve this person, wow, that connection starts to appear. People feel it. They feel seen. They lean in. Number seven is another thing we teach in the five levels quite a bit, is called step back so that others step up. And what I've learned as a leader is that people look to me to be, if you picture a box in the middle of the room, that I step up on the box, and by default, everybody else in the room steps back while I step up. And they're listening for me. They're expecting me. Perry's going to make the decision. Perry's going to tell us what to do. And what I've noticed is if I can step back, it causes others to step up. And I start to make them feel included. I start to make them feel relevant and needed. I ask them, what do they think? What's your point of view? What would you do if you were me? How would you lead this business? And I've had leaders tell me, well, if I ask them, I've got to do what they say.
No.
No. You don't. Most people don't even notice if you did what they said. They notice that you ask what
they
thought.
That's right. Well, the last one here, number eight, this is encourage two-way feedback. And leaders, I love this because this is just encouraging us to go first, right? Like, John is a tremendous supporter of admitting the fact that, hey, you're not going to do everything right. You're not going to lead perfectly. You're going to make mistakes. In order for you to grow, you got to have an evaluated experience, and that evaluation sometimes comes not only from an internal thought process, but also external feedback from your team. And when you do this, you're telling someone that you care about getting better, about your personal growth, and you just break the ice. You go first. And you ask the team member that, and you're including them, allow them to speak into that. Again, you may have different reasons for why you're doing certain things, and you understand that as a leader. But the fact that they're allowing to be heard and to speak into that, not only is it going to allow them to feel included, but then it's going to also encourage them to want to ask for feedback as well. And you create that two-way feedback, which I absolutely love.
Well, the key is that you lead everyone individually as where they are, and you don't lead everybody the same, and we teach that quite a bit. And people are individuals. If you've had more than one child, you don't do the same with one as you do with the other. It just often doesn't work that way. But it's important to make sure everybody feels welcome and included in what we're doing if we want to take engagement to the highest level.
Well, as we wrap today, I just want to encourage you. This is happening inside your team, inside your organization. May not be intentional. I'm thinking about even my team. I'm thinking about our organization. And it may not be because of the leader's intention, your intention, but this is happening. And so my challenge to you is to take these eight and really kind of just go through and self-evaluate where you're at as a leader, what your team is going through, and just say, where is it that I potentially am missing the mark to where, even if it's as simple as the unwritten rules, like you said, everybody has them. What are they? And have we communicated that to the team? All the way up to number 8, where you talk about, hey, begin asking other people for feedback in certain situations and allow them to speak into that. I think these 8, you could write them down, pick a couple of them this week, maybe even today, and begin to dig a little bit further to see if this is truly going on inside your team. So I appreciate the 8 that you brought to us and even just the topic.
Fantastic. Well, you can get those 8. They're on a learner guide for you that you can download. If you didn't have a chance to write those down, you can find that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You're also welcome to leave us a question or a comment or even learn more about the 5 levels of leadership. As always, we're grateful for you joining us. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.